This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on The Headline Texas Scorecard. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. Next to me here, senior journalist here, Jacob Asmussen. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the wild stuff that's happened in Austin and some legislation that's been filed in the Texas legislature. But first, earlier this morning, I sat down with Federal Elections Commission Chairman Trey Traynor to talk about a topic that's been on a lot of people's minds, which is, was there voter fraud in this election? His answer will be pretty interesting, I think. Check it out.
Well, over 2 weeks away from the November general election and still unclear who the president's going to be, right now sitting down with Trey Traynor, the chairman of the Federal Elections Commission, to talk about some of the allegations of voter fraud. But first, Trey, thank you for coming on, and please briefly describe your role for people who may not understand. What is your role in elections as chairman of the Federal Election Commission?
Sure. So I'm the chair of the Federal Elections Commission, which is made up of six members. Right now, we only have three that are appointed, one Democrat, an independent that caucuses with the Democrats, and myself as a Republican. Earlier this week, the Senate Rules Committee held confirmation hearings for two more Republicans and another Democrat. So hopefully here soon, we'll be back up to a full slate of six commissioners. The commission itself is responsible for the enforcement of the Federal Election Campaign Act. So we govern the all of the money that is spent in federal elections and all the reporting that goes on for independent expenditures, for political action committees, for nonprofit organizations that may be involved in the process. We have jurisdiction over all of those things.
Got it. And so you've been very, very vocal really since the election took place about some suspicions, specifically with mail-in ballots and voter fraud. What is voter fraud? It's a word that phrase that gets thrown around a lot. What is voter fraud, and do you think it took place in this election?
Well, so voter fraud is any time that the valid vote of a citizen is canceled out by an illegal vote that should not have been counted. That's voter fraud. And I have been very vocal about the ballot by mail. In fact, before the election, I did an editorial for the National Review talking about the fact that ballot by mail is the easiest way to commit voter fraud, and that once that happens with these ballot by mail, you're going to end up with extended and protracted litigation stemming from the use of ballot by mail. And what you saw in this election was the widespread use of ballot by mail in a lot of states who, for the first time, were using ballot by mail. So it does not surprise me that we're having the litigation that we're having. And absolutely, I believe that there was fraud in this election. I mean, all elections are a human endeavor, and they have some level of error in them because they're a human endeavor. But here, I think what we've seen, and especially after yesterday's press conference with the president's legal team, we see affidavits from hundreds of individuals who have direct knowledge of what went on, and they're claiming that they saw fraud take place.
Yes, speaking of yesterday's press conference, you had President Trump's legal team out there laying out the case, laying out essentially their opening argument for what exactly took place across the country as far as the integrity of the election. They spoke not only about mail-in ballot fraud, and to your point, this was first election where you had this widespread mail-in ballots, but also you had Attorney Sidney Powell talking about potentially some issues with Dominion's computer systems, electronic voter system. You actually got, I was a little jealous, Trey, I have to say, because you got the presidential retweet on talking about Sidney Powell and her arguments right now on Dominion and how they seem compelling.
Well, I've known Sidney for a while, and she's a very good attorney. And I'll tell you, one of the key things that I took away from the press conference that they had yesterday was a key point that Sidney made, and that is that the evidence, the direct evidence that they have, the affidavits from the witnesses, actually corresponds to the analytical evidence that they have, in that the witnesses say that they saw ballots being brought into various locations at specific times and all of them being counted for one particular candidate. And if you look at the analytical data, you see a direct spike going straight up for that particular candidate at the same time. So, you know, very good direct evidence that there was some sort of fraud that took place. And it's fascinating that the media hasn't gone and done a more in-depth analysis of that. You know, some of those affidavits are available for the media to look at. Clearly, some are under seal with the court because of the potential for those individuals to be doxxed by the people on the left that have done this. I mean, they've doxxed the attorneys in this case. So, you know, they do need to protect the integrity of the witnesses in the case.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, you just have not seen, you've seen the media willfully ignoring the evidence that's been placed out there. So, but obviously this is going to be decided, as Rudy Giuliani mentioned yesterday and some others, this is going to be decided not in the court of public opinion or the media, but in actual court. And so as you look at these lawsuits that are being filed across the country, do you think there's a path to victory?
I do think there is a path to victory, especially with what's going on in Nevada. In Nevada, you see that there's about 15,000 individuals who've been shown to have voted in Nevada and voted someplace else. You see in Pennsylvania, just this morning in Pennsylvania, their state legislature asked Dominion to come in and testify about the contract that they have with the state of Pennsylvania, and Dominion has refused to come in and testify. So I think that calls into question the votes that you have there. I think the lack of signature verification that went on in the recount in Georgia is something that needs to be investigated. And then, of course, the discrepancies in Michigan, where you have local county boards of elections who are not certifying the elections because of the discrepancies that they have. And having done a recount in Michigan in 2016, I know that those discrepancies happen every election. And, you know, it's great to see individuals finally standing up and saying this needs to stop.
Well, to your point, I think when a lot of people see this, it feels almost like you can only really be a spectator. Are there any actions that citizens can take either now or in future elections to ensure that that their votes count and they're fighting against fraud?
Well, I think the most important thing that people can do going forward is to make sure that they contact their local state legislators and let them know that voter fraud is an absolute concern and probably will continue to be the number one concern for them as we move into the 2022 election cycle. The legislature has the opportunity to address that. You know, here in Texas, we have ballot by mail available. We see places like Harris County who tried to make it available across the board. Mm-hmm. The legislature needs to address that problem. You know, when we were passing the voter ID legislation in Texas, we heard from the Democrats that it was really not addressing the number one problem in election fraud, that was ballot by mail. And so now I think the legislature needs to take the Democrats at their word, and they need to address the ballot by mail problem and come up with ways to do this. You know, Texas has signature verification, unlike what they did in Georgia, but even that's not strong enough. We really need to crack down and limit the amount of ballot by mail, because it is the number one way that fraud occurs in our elections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And last question, a lot of people, you'll see a lot of even Republicans calling on President Trump to concede. Do you think he should give up or keep fighting?
Absolutely not. It's important for our republic that he carry out this fight. It's important for people to have trust in our democratic systems, that they trust the outcome of these elections. And the only way they're going to have trust in the outcome of these elections, if all of these issues that have been brought up are run to ground, the only way that can happen is in the courtroom with the evidence and having the judges rule on it. And ultimately, I think a lot of these cases are going to see the inside of the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And we'll be watching it then. Thank you so much, Trey, for joining.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, on the issue of election integrity, certain to continue to be important in the coming weeks, the coming months, especially as the legislature in Texas and across the state go into meet and session. So we're going to be watching that issue closely. And thanks again to Trey Trainer for joining us. Now switching gears to Jacob, you wrote a story yesterday up at TexasScorecard.com, looking through some numbers, looking at the federal COVID, coronavirus relief money that had been given to cities across the country. And Austin, instead of, at least in part, of spending some of that big money on the citizens who were struggling under these shutdown mandates, actually funneled, you say, about $400,000 to essentially some of their friends.
Yeah, so essentially, you got this big pool of taxpayer-funded COVID relief money, right? Mm-hmm. And the all-Democrat Austin City Council takes $398,000, and instead of giving it to all of the citizens and business owners languishing under these shutdowns, mm-hmm. they instead give it to the Workers' Defense Project, a nonprofit group, a controversial group well-connected with City Hall.
Workers' Defense Project, I mean, you can either think two things. Either it sounds like maybe just like nothing. It kind of sounds like a union also, frankly.
So it's a controversial group. They actually recently got hit with an official U.S. Department of Labor complaint arguing that they are illegally operating as a labor union. They're a lobbyist organization that works a lot in the construction industry. They also are well-connected with City Hall and local government because current Austin City Councilman, self-proclaimed socialist Greg Cassara, is actually the former policy director of this organization, and recently elected Travis County DA was also the former executive director of the organization. So this group is tied in close with City Hall, and City Hall made sure they got taken care of with taxpayer money.
I would say it would be absolutely unbelievable, but when we're talking about the city of Austin, just about anything is, I think, believable. Also happening in Austin, but in the state capitol, we've got, of course, bill pre-filings happening right now. And we're spotlighting at TexasScorecard.com some of those bills as we start to enter the legislative session in January. And one of those bills is actually a Republican Party of Texas legislative priority, a bill that would classify gender mutilation as child abuse. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so Representative Steve Toth mm-hmm. filed a bill that would make gender disfigurement surgeries as child abuse, right? So it would stop medical professionals from performing these horrible, harmful mutilation type of procedures on children. Things like
they say sex change operations, right. But this is what we're talking
about.
It
disfigures and potentially permanently harms children. Things like sterilizing children, including castration. Things like giving them potentially harmful medication that causes infertility, such as puberty blockers. Mm-hmm. Things like removing otherwise healthy body parts or tissue. So that would stop all of those incredibly harmful procedures.
Well, and this isn't just a theoretical thing either. I mean, we have seen in Texas the case of James Younger, who's a 9-year-old boy whose mother's trying to force him to have some of these procedures to become a girl.
Right.
You know, this is happening even in Texas.
It is. I mean, you have a 9-year-old boy who's just trying to be a boy, and his mother is trying to force him to pretend to be a girl despite objections from the father. Mm-hmm. And so you see it right here in the state where children are being harmed, disfigured, potentially permanently harmed, mm-hmm. right? And this bill would protect those children.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, that is one of the 8 Republican legislative priorities that grassroots delegates to the Republican convention approved and voted on earlier this summer. And now you've got a group of conservatives across the state, nearly 200 conservative political influencers, signing on to a letter to the legislature and telling them that right now Republicans in the Texas House need to nominate a speaker candidate who will do these 3 things. And this article is just up just a few moments ago on TexasScorecard.com. But that each Republican Party of Texas legislative priority will receive a vote on the floor of the House, that all House committees will be chaired by Republicans and shall be composed of a majority of Republican, and that rules will be amended to require legislation having the support of a majority of the Texas House to be sent to the floor for a vote. And these things sound common sense. This is something we've talked about for a while, which is in the Texas legislature, you've had an issue where for ever, really, I mean, you've had a situation where even though Republicans have the majority, and right now we have an 83-67 majority, and that, of course, defeated Democrat attempts to turn Texas blue just a couple weeks ago. Again, 83 Republicans, 67 Democrats, and yet the first thing these speaker candidates do it, and notably State Representative Dade Phelan, who's the front runner for that position at the moment, is say that they're going to nominate and put Democrats in charge of committees. What effect does that ultimately have? Well, it means that some bills, like bills to protect life, bills to advance constitutional carry, other Republican Party of Texas legislative priorities never get to see the light of day, never get to see a vote on the floor. So you've got a lot of grassroots folks concerned about that, and they're making their voices heard and standing with Chairman Alan West. So always a good thing, I think, to see, and wanted to mention that. I want to thank everybody for watching today. I want to say hello specifically. Got Tiffany watching from Deer Park. Always good to see you, Tiffany. Nalini watching from Humble. Kathy watching in Pasadena. Stacy in Balmorea. I want to say hello to anybody from Bryan College Station Tea Party. Got to visit with those folks last night. It's so good to go out and get to go visit these groups in person, right? Especially, we know what social media is doing, Facebook and all that, right? They're closing down. They're trying to close down our connections. Yep. So it's so important more than ever to get involved with your conservative, local conservative group, wherever you live, and to go and actually get active. And so I want to thank them for having me come speak last night. I really enjoyed it, and hope y'all are doing well. If you have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the comments. For right now, we're going to go. Thank you so much for joining. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.